switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.
The Spirit of Faith Netcast is on the air. Glad you could join us again as we continue teaching the Word of God, and particularly this week we're picking up a new topic. I don't know if we'll get done with it today or if it'll continue on into next week, but it is a very, very important topic. I just wrote a new article on the website, and I encourage you to go read that new article because I believe it will be a blessing to you. It's called Strange Fire, Don't Get Distracted. Now you may think, what kind of topic is that? Well, you'll find out as we get into today's netcast. Before we go into that, though, I would like to say that I appreciate all of you that have been listening and watching the netcast, particularly over these last few weeks as we talked about issues concerning that we're living in perilous times. These are the last of the last days, and that there's very important things we need to be doing as the body of Christ. One of those things we needed to do was to go out and vote. And if you went out and voted according to the Word of God, I want you to know I appreciate it. And I appreciate you obeying the Holy Spirit as He directed us as believers to do what we could do in terms of voting according to the Word of God. That's a very special and important thing. Now, the election's over. President-elect Obama has won the presidential election. All the other various elections throughout the country have occurred. The important thing now is to do what the Scripture says and to pray for those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so you need to set aside time to pray for our leaders. You may say, well, I didn't vote for whoever. Well, it doesn't matter whether you voted for them or not. They have been elected. They are now our leaders. And so you need to pray for them and believe that God will use them. And further, that anything that may come up that is contrary to the Word of God will be stopped. There are some legislation and some things that are going to be happening in the near future that I've heard about that are totally contrary to God's Word concerning a lot of different topics, not the least of which is abortion and abortion on demand. So I would encourage you, believers, continue to pray. Pray and believe for our country, because we live in a blessed nation, and we want it to continue to be that way. We want to rejoice and not be downcast when it comes to the various political machinations in the government. So, enough said about that, but I do want to pick up with a new topic this week, as I mentioned. And I'd encourage you to go to the website. I know I mention it a lot, www.wofm, which stands for Word of Faith Ministries, wofm.org, because we're a nonprofit organization. I'd encourage you to go to that website because I try to make it a resource for teaching concerning the Word of Faith. Now, right here at Word of Faith Ministries, this is what we're about. We're to proclaim the Word of Faith, be a showcase of ministries, and train people to fulfill the Word of God. That's our vision. God spoke to me in August of 1980 with that direction, and I have attempted as best I can with the strength I have to stay true to that vision, to proclaim the Word of Faith, be a showcase of ministries, train people to fulfill the Word of God. So the website is designed to do those three aspects of our vision. And I'd encourage you to go to the website and check it out. Now, one of the things we have on the website that I mentioned as we started the netcast today is our articles. Occasionally, as the Lord leads, I will write an article. I'll do some research and some study and write an article that I believe is on a topic that is important to the body of Christ right now, today. And that's what I've done with this new article called Strange Fire, Don't Get Distracted, which is what we're going to be talking about on today's netcast. Now, I'll set it up this way. We've already been talking about the fact that we live currently in the last of the last days, and that these are perilous times. Well, one of the things that's happening in the body of Christ is that there are quote-unquote revivals that are occurring in various parts of the nation and around the world, and not everything that claims to be a revival is truly a move of God and is a revival. We know that in these last days, Satan is going to step up his attempts to do things that will draw the body of Christ off of the true Word of God and get us involved in things that are not the true Word of God, not the purity of the Word, but rather are distractions. And so that's what I wrote this article on. And let's go straight into the scripture from this article. First off, we start in Numbers 26:61, which says, "And Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord." That's where our title for this article comes from, strange fire, don't get distracted. Now, the strange fire it's talking about here is, in fact, sacrifices that were made, and sacrifice in the Hebrew faith has to be done in just a certain way. You can't just decide, I'm going to do it this way, or I'm going to change things up. I'm going to, you know, oh, I know, I'll do this. It all has to be done according to a precise pattern. And it has to be what God has decided is the methodology for doing these sacrifices. So they offered strange fire. In other words, a sacrifice and a fire on the altar that was not in line with God's word. And when they did that, they died. Now, we're told that our God, God the Father, the God we serve, is a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4:24 says that. He expects us to worship him in his way and not to get pulled away by distractions of unsound doctrine. Now, doctrine, don't let that word throw you. It sounds very religious, but it just means teaching. Incorrect teaching, which is why I want to train you to fulfill the word of God. I need to be able to minister to you in such a way that it will be instructive and that you'll stay true to the word of God. So that's part of our vision. That's why I mentioned it. Now, we're also told that the immature in Christ are often carried around or carried away by winds of doctrine. That's Ephesians 4:14, which says that we henceforth be no more children. The fivefold ministry gifts that he mentions earlier in this chapter are given. And by the way, that's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Those fivefold ministry gifts are given that we will grow up into him in all things. And then it goes on to say, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that's happening today. People are deceiving Christians with false doctrine. And people are being blown around by these false doctrines. Have you ever seen a leaf in the wind? It gets blown this way, and then it gets blown that way. We don't want to be blown around by false doctrines. We want to be solid. We want to stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. So, as I said, these are perilous times. These are the last of the last days. And people will come to distract us. They'll come to try to draw us off of the pure word of God. Now, there's all kinds of things going on in the body of Christ these days that have no basis in biblical history, in biblical doctrine, or even in fact. Some of these teachings come from cults. Some of them come from other religions. But all of them, no matter where they originated historically, are from the devil. He's the one that's trying to draw us off and pull us off in other directions and distract us from the pure word of God. Now, 2 Timothy 4:2 through 5 says, "Preach the word," which is what we're here to do, proclaim the word of faith, "preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering," which is patience, "and doctrine," which is teaching. "For the time will come," that's right now, these are perilous times, "the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust or desires, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, which is pressure. That's the Greek word thlipsis. It means pressure. There's pressure to adopt some of these weird doctrines and weird teachings. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. But notice he said that some people will turn their ears from the truth and turn unto fables. Now, we're to preach the word. We're to preach sound doctrine. We're not preaching fables. But what are these fables? What are some things that are afoot today in the body of Christ that are going on that are actually fables? Well, all you have to do is look around at some of the things that are happening in these so-called, in quotes, quote, revivals, okay, that are occurring in various places around the world, around the country today. Now, one of these revivals, and I'm not going to name any names, so don't, you know, sit there with your ink pen and pad and hope that I give you names. I'm not going to do that. But there is a revival where someone has been preaching that it is scriptural. Well, let me back up a little bit from there. One of the things they say is that we're out beyond the Bible. Oh, yeah, we're beyond that thing. Well, listen, you get out beyond the Bible, you are beyond me. Because I want to stick with the Word of God. I am a stickler. I'm a teacher of the Word. I'm a stickler for the Word of God. If it's not in the Scripture, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Well, this particular, quote, minister says, well, we're out beyond the Bible now. We've got great revelation, greater revelation than what's in the Bible. And part of this revelation is that angels, oh, yeah, angels, are now ministering in a unique way, and this particular person has an angel that has come to him and spoken to him and told him that angel's name. And so he prays in the name of this angel. When he lays hands on people, he speaks the name of this angel. Brethren, these things ought not so to be, to paraphrase the New Testament. No, we don't pray to angels. We don't pray to people who have died and gone on to be with the Lord. We don't pray to Peter and Paul and Mary and, you know, or anybody. I don't care if they're a singing group or not. Little joke. Anyway, the point is we don't pray to anyone but the Father. Jesus told us to pray to the Father in His name. Now, that's the scriptural basis. John 14, 13 and 14 says, whatsoever ye, Christians, shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, asking the Father in his name, I will do it. Now, this is the biblical pattern. This is how you're supposed to pray. You pray to God the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? His name gives us access to the things of God. And that is our authority, is using his name. Now, we don't pray to angels. We don't pray, as I said, to people, you know, dead or not. We pray to the Father God in Jesus' name. The admonition in 2 Timothy 4, to, verse 5, remember, said to watch thou on all things. Now, to put that in a more modern speech, watch out. There are doctrines that we need to watch out for. We need to mark down as bad doctrine, okay, as teachings that are not constructive, instructive, or scriptural. Now, one of the many examples that take place in these kinds of revivals are things where they seem to perform, quote, tricks in God's name. They produce feathers, or maybe they produce gold dust, and other physical manifestations that are simply not biblical. Now, you say, well, Brother Bill, why do you say they're not biblical? Well, I challenge you to go into the Scripture, search diligently, and find a place where the Apostle Paul or Peter or any of those who ministered in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, anywhere in the Bible where they produced feathers or where they had gold dust sprinkled around, you know? Do you see that in the Bible? No, it's not in the Bible. It's not biblical. It's not a spiritual gift. It's not listed as one of the nine spiritual gifts. It's actually, when you get right down to it, kind of silly. But not only that, it's done for several reasons. It's spectacular. Jesus said, these people seek signs. Luke 11:29. He said they seek signs. Now, you go into one of these services where people are producing feathers or sprinkling gold dust. What is it people want to see? Do they want to hear the Word of God? Do they come to hear the pure, unadulterated, uncompromised Word of God taught? No, they want to see feathers. They want to see gold dust. They want to see some supernatural manifestation. In other words, just like Jesus said, they're seeking signs. Well, right there you know that the hearts of those people are not in the right place. Now you might say, well, but Dr. Bill, you said before the healing is the dinner bell, and actually that's a quote from someone else, not original with me. Healing is the dinner bell that calls the world to come to the Lord. Well, that's true, but healing isn't feathers. Healing isn't gold dust. Healing is a supernatural move of God to heal somebody. Now, somebody gets healed supernaturally, physically. Yeah, people will come out and they'll go, whoa, something's going on here. But again, scripturally, look in your Bible. Do you see gold dust? Do you see feathers? Do you see weird doctrines of speaking to angels? Not on the side of scripture. No, there may be some indications of false doctrine when it comes to talking to angels and so forth. But listen, we need to get serious with the Word of God. We need to stop playing around, is what it boils down to. All right. Now, what about this business of the feathers and the gold dust and all this kind of stuff? Doesn't come from Scripture. Where does it come from? Well, it comes from various other religions. And in fact, the Jewish occult background of the Kabbalah mentions some of these things. That doesn't have anything to do with the Scriptures. Those things are not scriptural. All right, and what are they really when you get right down to it, other than being theatrical and drawing attention to the person that's sprinkling the dust or throwing the feathers or whatever? It draws attention to the person. It doesn't draw attention to God. It doesn't draw attention to Jesus. It draws attention to them. Makes them look spiritual. Makes them look powerful. Makes them look unique. Well, that's not what we're here to do. That's not how we minister. That's not the purpose of ministry. We're not putting on a show. We're not trying to get people to flock to see something unique and magical. No, we are to preach the gospel. It's the foolishness of preaching the gospel that will reach the world. Anything else is just simply not scriptural and not of God. They are distractions. They're flashy and they look different and interesting. That's not what God wants us to be interested in. He doesn't want us seeking signs. He wants us to follow sound doctrine. Now, I remember a time, it's been a long time ago now, when a pastor of a large church had a lady come that produced feathers. She was known for producing feathers while she ministered. I use that word loosely. And he had her come in. Oh, people flocked to see her. Ooh, ah, wow, look at this. Well, as I said, Jesus talked about people seeking signs in Luke 11:29, and that's exactly what people were doing. Well, they came out to see this lady, and he invited her to speak, and she was getting big crowds. And so he was kind of motivated to bring her in, and he did. And, of course, she's getting big offerings, too, but we won't go into that. Anyway, another minister was at this meeting with a video camera, and he videoed her ministering, quote-unquote, very closely. And come to find out, she had pockets sewn in her sleeves and was pulling the feathers out of those little pockets with sleight of hand. In other words, like a magic trick, and throwing them around. They were not being produced out of thin air supernaturally. It was just sleight of hand. Well, of course, he showed this video and he revealed all this. I'm talking about this minister that had come to this meeting and had done all this. And her ministry, of course, pretty much went down the tubes. She didn't get as many invitations because she was shown to be a charlatan. And what does it have to do with the Word of God? I mean, one of the things that this minister did that had the video camera after the service, he'd ask people, what did she teach on? And none of them could tell him. Oh, I don't know what she taught on, but did you see those feathers? See, they were interested in physical manifestation of something weird. They weren't interested in hearing any scripture taught. Now, the other side of it is, of course, she wasn't teaching anything worth anything. You know, she couldn't preach her way out of a paper bag because her shtick was the feathers and the weird stuff. So, brethren, we need to find out what is scriptural and stick with that. Now, let's talk a little bit about another instance. I did a little research on this producing gold thing. Come to find out there was a minister who went to one of these meetings, and he gathered some of the dust, the gold dust that got produced, did a little research and had them study it, you know, scientifically, do some research on it. Turns out it was iron pyrite dust, you know, what's called fool's gold. Well, it looks to me like if God was going to produce gold, it'd be real gold. It wouldn't be fool's gold. And fool's gold is aptly named. I'll just leave it right there, okay? Anyway, the whole point is all this is just done basically for entertainment purposes. It doesn't have anything to do with the scripture. It doesn't have anything to do with the word of God. And a minister shouldn't be, quote, performing tricks with spectacular things like that, because what does it ought really do? What is it for? It elevates themselves. It makes them look more spiritual. And often they even say of themselves, I'm more spiritual than you are because these things happen in my ministry. Well, you know, it seems to me that the incidents we have of special manifestations taking place, and of course not the gold and not the feathers, not the speaking angels, not that kind of stuff, but no, when Peter ministered, it says that people were brought such that even when the shadow of Peter would pass by, in other words, when they got close enough that his shadow would pass by, people were healed and people were delivered and demons were cast out. Supernatural things happen, yeah, but those are the supernatural things that God does. Those are the manifestations that we see listed in Scripture, not this other weird stuff. But even in that case, what did he say? When they said, oh, look at this, look at what's going on, Peter said, it's not my personal power or holiness or ability. It's not that I'm so spiritual. What did he say? Let's just read it. Peter said in Acts 5:15 through 16, insomuch that they brought forth the sick in the streets and laid them on beds and couches, for at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. Now that's backs up the scripture that I read earlier. That let's go back up to Acts 3:13. That's the one I was after. Get my scripture straight here. He said, when they asked him what's going on here, he said, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we'd made this man to walk? That's Acts 3:13. It's not, he said, his power or his holiness or his being spiritual. Matter of fact, if you check Peter out, he wasn't all that spiritual, particularly this early in his ministry. No, didn't have anything to do with it. It had to do with a special anointing. It had to do with the fact that he preached the word and the signs follow the word. Now, Mark 16:20 says, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word preached with signs following what? The word. So what are we to do? Are we to put on a show? No. We are to preach the word. And if we preach the word, then signs will follow the word. The Lord will work with them. It doesn't have anything to do with my holiness or my piety. Praise God for that. Amen? You know, I mean, I got some issues that I'm working on. You may have noticed I am somewhat overweight. Yeah, I'm working on that. I'm certainly not perfect in that area. I've got a lot of things. Everybody's got a lot of things they're working on. I'm not a spiritual, super powerful, you know, man of God, you know, man, God's man of faith and power. Well, you know, sometimes I feel like God's man of paste and flour. But I tell you what, I'm true to the word of God. And I'll always stay true to the word of faith. And God will use faithfulness. The thing that I have always said my whole ministry, and I've been in this ministry for 30 years plus, is I want God to say, when all is said and done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not you had a flashy ministry. Not, ooh, look at how many newsletters and tapes you spread throughout the world. You know, oh, you had a great ability to sell tapes and DVDs. No. What we need is to preach the word and be faithful with preaching the word. And the signs will follow the word. All right. Now, that may sound a little harsh to some folks. And if it does, I'm sorry. but we need to get serious. This is what I keep coming back to about focus, focus, focus. The article that I ministered early about, that we need to focus on the real things of the Word of God and get off of these distractions. That's what some of these things are. They're just distracting us from doing what God wants us to do. It's important that we grow up. Amen. Now, we need to grow up, and I'm going to read a scripture just along that line. Ephesians 4, 14 through 24. I read part of it earlier, but let me just read the rest of it. That ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being fat past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is a big word, but it simply means being given over to your own desires and being led around by those desires. To work all uncleanness and greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be ye have heard him, been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or behavior, we would say today, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, brethren, it's time to grow up. It's time to get away from these distractions. Don't be seeking strange fire. Don't be seeking weird manifestations. And watch out. Remember we read that scripture and talked about how the literal tense there was to watch out. We need to watch out for some of these things and not be drawn away by them. It further says in Romans 16, 17, and 18, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Check that word, avoid them. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and we today could say their own self-interest. Like I talked about that lady that was going all over the country. She's getting big offerings. She had some self-interest involved in that. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Folks are being deceived by these, frankly, charlatans and deceptions. And some of them, most of them, demonically inspired. At least inspired, if not led, by demonic forces. We need to get past all this stuff, folks. We need to get serious about the Word of God and preaching the Word of God and preach and teach only the purity of the Word of God. Amen? All right. Well, I know this has been a little bit of a rebuke, a little bit of a attention getter, but it's something we need to pay attention to. It's something we need to do. And I want you to write me right here, Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Be sure to write me, let me know what this ministry means to you. And if this message was timely, if it was something you needed to hear, or maybe something that you have a family member or a friend or a church member friend that needs to hear, tell them about this netcast. Have them go to the website, WFM.org, click on the link, and watch this netcast. Tell them they can watch it right there on the web. Don't have to do anything special. And I do want to mention, too, that you may notice if you normally download the netcast, I am reducing the size of the netcast. It's not going to be as big as it was because that size was just so big that if you downloaded the video one, it was just too big to deal with. So I am reducing the size. That will affect the quality just a little bit. But I'm going to do that because I just think it will be a benefit to do that. And, of course, the audio is always very small if you just want to download the audio. So you can do that. But anyway, join us next week. Remember until then to fulfill the Word of God.
Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Cast not away your confidence. the switch of faith turned on.